You see, the devil is jealous. Somebody say, the devil is jealous.
Devil is jealous.
Of your joy. He's jealous of your freedom. He's jealous of the intimacy that you have and the assurance that you have in your relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't want that. He wants you to be filled with fear. The Bible says fear has torment. But those who God loves perfectly are delivered from fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Are you with me this morning? So this morning, I want to focus a little bit more about what the church needs to do now. We're living in very, very difficult times, a very strategic time in the history of the world. And so the message God has given me for the church is very simple. What the world needs now. What does the world need now? Last week, we talked about the enduring nature of the church. That the church is the best thing that's ever happened to the world. Oh, that was weak. I said the church is the best thing that ever happened to the world. Thank you. Because in the church, we find hope. In the church, we find reconciliation with God. Through the church, we can have the forgiveness of sins. Through the church, we can have a brand new family. How many of you have found comfort in your Christian family? Every hand should be up. How many of you have found comfort in your Christian family? Amen. Amen. It means something. It means something to be a part of the church. Are you with me, church? Hallelujah. This is not, we're not here because of ritual. We're not here because of obligation. We're not here because of guilt. We are here because we are honored to be part of the family of God, the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. We are one in the bond of His love. And so last week we talked about the eternal nature of the church and how the church is the hope of the world. But this morning I want to focus a little bit differently now. Stay with me. One of the reasons the hope, the church is the greatest hope of the world is because the genuine love of God resides in the church. And the genuine love of God is lived out through the members of the church. If you want an example of real God's real love, genuine love, find a Christian, a real Christian. You know, this is a funny story, but I remember one time a friend of mine who was an evangelist introducing me to another pastor. And he said, I know these people, and I guess he was wanting me to get to know this other pastor, so he wanted to give me a commendation. And he said, you know, these people are Christians. They're real Christians. And I thought to myself, why do we have to say that? Why do we have to, there's some who are Christians and some who are real Christians. That's a sermon right there. We all should be real Christians that the world can point to and say, I know so-and-so. You can't tell me God is not real because I know brother so-and-so. You can't tell me there's not a real God and there's not a real Jesus because I know sister so-and-so. One of the most important reasons the church is the hope of the world is because God's real love resides in its members. The love of God, the real love of God. And we're going to define that in just a moment. But the love of God can still turn a sinner into a saint. The love of God can make enemies into friends. The love of God can take broken people and heal them completely. I'm not just talking about a physical sickness. I'm talking about a soul that is broken. Only God can really heal the soul of America. Somebody say amen. The world that we live in can often be very harsh. How many of you have ever found the world to be very harsh and unforgiving? Cruel and unkind. There's so much sorrow. Listen to me, church. I feel a very strong anointing on this message today. I hope you would listen and don't miss this. There is so much sorrow that God wants to heal. Because this world has a track record of leaving the wreckage of people's lives along the way. There are so many ruined lives because they bought into the lie of Satan. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live for the good times. I'm going to find my pleasure in making money. I'm going to find my pleasure in relationships. I'm going to, you know, the vita loco, they call it in Spanish. The vita loca. Amen. That's another Spanish word I learned. Hallelujah. But what they have found is the next morning when they wake up in bed with a hangover or sleeping next to somebody that they don't even know who they are, they have found themselves empty. Empty, depressed, discouraged, and craving for real love. How many of you know there are a lot of cheap substitutes out there? There's a lot of counterfeit in this world. And the counterfeit will always leave you empty. It'll always leave you starving for the real thing. The toll on human lives cannot be overstated because real love is in such short supply. I want to say that again. The toll in America, in our community, maybe even in your own family, the wreckage, the consequences of a lack of God's real love in a relationship has caused such pain, such hurt. How many of you agree with me this morning? Broken hearts, lonely people, suicides are up sky high right now. People with very little motivation, divided families, and even a divided country. All because a lack of understanding of the true love of God as is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The church and Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, are the best news that this world, they don't know it, maybe. Because if they all knew it, this building would be too small. So there's a lot of people out there still don't know how the treasure that we have in these vessels of clay. Yes, we're human just like everybody else. But we have a treasure that comes from God that the world needs. What the world needs now is to see examples of vessels who are filled with the love of Jesus, who won't quit. Their prayers will not quit. Their hope will not quit. Their forgiveness and their love will not quit. It's time for people, for God's people to shine. The stakes could not be higher. The challenge has never been greater. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Say it with me. God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Love is sacrifice. Somebody wrote a song, "Love is sacrifice." Love is not just good feelings. You know, like what's her name? Tina Turner said, "What's love got to do with it? It's just an empty emotion." It has not, you know, the world has discovered the fact that the artificial love, the conditional love, is not what they're really looking for. I love you as long as you make me happy. I love you as long as you listen to me. I love you as long as you agree with me. I love you as long as you bring home a fat paycheck. Come on now. I told my wife, I said, you know, when you found me, you got the you know, the great money and all my wealth and the charm and the good looks and the talent. She goes, "I would be happy with even one of those things," she said. But what we do have for over 50 years now is the real love of God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We have the real love. We have a treasure. Our marriage is worth millions and billions because you can't buy that in the world. Hallelujah. John goes on to say, if we say we love God and do not love people, we are really lying to ourselves. If you cannot love a person that you can see in front of you, or a family member that you are on the phone with, or the one who get your neighbor who rubs you the wrong way, how are you going to say you love God who you can't see? Faith, hope, and love will always be critical for the salvation of mankind. Listen to this. These three remain. Faith, hope, and love will always be a need for humankind all the way till we get to heaven. Once we get to heaven, we won't need the manifestation of that in the church, because the church will be with Jesus. But as long as there are people on earth, faith, hope, and love are needed to be manifested through the church. That's through us. And then it says, but the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest need. Love is the greatest virtue. Love is the greatest power. I want to give you a couple of points to remember and take home with you today. Number one, God's love is the strongest force on the earth. Number two, God's love is never separated from God's truth. And number three, God's love shows itself in sacrificial action. I'll give it to you again, so if you don't get it, if you didn't write it down right now, don't worry, we're going to go through it. But let's go start with number one. God's love is the strongest force in heaven and on earth. You ask, how strong? Everybody say, how strong? Thank you for asking. It's stronger than our failures. He saw beyond my need. He saw beyond my faults, the song says, and he saw my need. He looked beyond my, remember that one, Sister Gloria? He looked beyond my faults, and he saw my needs. It's stronger than our failure. Can anybody in this room relate to the weaknesses of the disciples before the resurrection of Christ and before the Holy Spirit came on the church? Do you remember what kind of group they were? They were a little bit iffy. They were a little bit shaky. And Peter, you know, promised Jesus that he would never forsake him. I will be, even if all these others leave you, Lord, I will be with you. I'm going with you all the way, Lord. A little girl comes up to him, a little servant girl, says, weren't you with you? Oh, no, not me. No, I don't know. And he's swearing. I swear, I don't know him. He denied Jesus three times. Thomas said, unless I see him in person and I can put my hand in his wound and put my hand in his, you know, nail prints, I'm not going to believe. And then the Bible also reports at the cross, they all forsook him and fled. That's right out of the scripture. They all forsook him and fled. Do you think Jesus could have had an I told you so? Have you ever been tempted to have an I told you so attitude? Like when somebody you warned, you know, because Jesus told them he was going to be crucified, by the way. He also told them he was going to rise after the third day. And he also told them, I will meet you in Galilee after I have risen. Pretty cool, right? He's the only person who can make an appointment after his death. But what does Jesus do when he sees his disciples? He speaks peace to them, forgiveness. He confirms to them his calling. He comes to Thomas and says, here, Thomas, come here. Look at me. It's really me. He could have said, what's wrong with you? I mean, after all this time I've been with you and you're still questioning me, leave. Get out of here. Go follow somebody else. I'm so glad that our God's love is not like that. It's greater than our failures. I have blown it sometimes to where I was weeping on the floor. My wife can tell you where I felt like I have missed God or done something. But God has always assured me of his love and also assured me that his plan for me is still intact. You need to hear this morning. God's plan for you is a good plan. He hasn't given up on you. You may have given up on yourself, but he has not given up on you. Somebody say amen. It's stronger than our failure. It's stronger than hate. Everybody say it's stronger than hate. Jesus was able to forgive those who hated him. His disciples didn't hate him, but there were some people who hated him. The priests, the religious leaders, the Romans, they hated him. How about Judas? John chapter 13, the Bible says that Jesus bent down and took a towel and washed the disciples' feet, including Judas, who was about to betray him. In Gethsemane, the soldiers with some of the high priest's representative came into the garden to arrest him. Peter takes out his sword and takes a swing at one of those. Those of you guys who were in the military get a kick out of this. He takes a swing at one of the officers that was about to arrest Jesus, and he misses him. He was probably trying to cut his head off. But because it was dark and maybe Peter had poor eyesight, he only cut off his ear. And Jesus tells Peter, put that sword away. Could I not call 12 legions of angels right now? I could call 10,000 angels right now to set me free. But shall I not take the cup that my Father has brought to me to take? The cup that my Father has given me. The cup, in other words, of suffering. The cup of sacrifice. The cup of offering his life for the sins of the world. Shall I not take the cup? That's how great his love was. He said, look, I can get out of this. I can call legions of angels. So that was the religious. And then what about the Romans? They took him to a place called the pavement. In the Aramaic, I believe it's called Gabbatha. Gabbatha, those of you who like to study the Bible. We actually were there in Israel. My wife and I visited Mark Anthony's palace, which you can go downstairs off the Via Dolorosa, and you could go downstairs and see the pavement where Jesus was whipped and interrogated. Gabbatha, with the cat of nine tails tearing the skin off of his back. The most agonizing form of torture you can imagine. And then on the cross, they spit at him. They mocked him. Not just the soldiers, but the people who walked by. They made fun of him. You who are going to build the temple or bring the temple back in 3 days, why don't you get off the cross? Why don't you heal yourself? Why don't you save yourself? You're supposed to be a savior. Save yourself. If he had saved himself, he could not save us. But he died alone for you and me. Hallelujah. He died alone. You tell me about the love of God. There is no way you can describe the infinite, absolute, extraordinary, amazing love of God. How strong is God's love? It's stronger than anything the world can throw at you, even death. Love is stronger than death. There's a story told about a woman who took a flight, and I had the information here somewhere. I don't know where it is right now, but it was a flight that, here it is, from the Detroit airport. This was back in 1987, I believe it was. And within a short time, I think it was from Detroit, actually, within a short time, the plane crashed. It was a Southwest Airlines. And 155 people died. And when the firemen, the emergency workers came, they were sorting through the wreckage, and they saw this little girl, her name was Cecilia. And they thought that she perhaps was part of the crowd, or they didn't know who she was because she was just perfectly fine. And they were sorting through the mangled bodies and the burned bodies. And this little girl's tugging on the pants of one of the emergency workers. She says, who are you? She says, my mother was on that plane. I was on that plane. Says, how is that even possible? She said, when the plane was about to crash, my mother took her body and wrapped her arms around me. And she kneeled down in the seat and just hugged me so close and put herself between me and the seat in front of her. She was crushed, but I've been saved. That's a true story. Now, that's a mother's love. But a mother's love is just a reflection of the love of God. Are you with me this morning? Somebody give God a praise in the house. Give God a praise. It's stronger even than death. Romans chapter 8. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who, I'm going to say it again. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are conquerors through him who loved us. We conquer through love. Love conquers. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, present or future, powers, height, depth, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love is stronger than everything the world can throw at you, even death. Love is stronger than death. God's love will never fail. It will never fail. Put your heart, put your hand, your life in his hands, and you will not be disappointed. I want to wrap this up this morning. Number two, God's love is not only stronger than anything, but God's love is also never separate from truth. And here's how I want to explain this to you, because you might say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Here's a very simple way to understand what I'm saying. God's love will never lead you to leave truth behind. And that's worth the price of admission right there. Somebody should have said a big amen there. I'm going to say it again. God's love will never lead you to leave truth behind. Because just as love is one of the great attributes of God, so is truth. They're intermingled. Love and truth go hand in hand. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. In a relationship, you need both love and truth. If it's all love, that can turn into a license to do whatever you want. If there's no truth, then you can just do whatever you want, and God will keep forgiving you. If there's no such thing as truth, then a lot of people are going to be victims. Because if there's no truth, then there's no justice. If there's no truth, then you cannot have any just laws. If there's no truth, the down and out person wouldn't make it, because only the strong would make it. But love contains truth. And the devil has always tried to pervert the genuine love of God, turning it into an excuse for sin and bad behavior. Well, I love God. Oh, I know he'll forgive me. I can just, you know, I can do this. I can do that. I can do whatever I want. But you cannot leave truth behind. Somebody say amen. I believe it was John that said in 1 John, this is how we love God, that Christ laid down his life, and so we also, wrong verse. My children, our love should not just be in words and talk, but real love shows itself in our actions. In our actions. Paul said, shall I go on sinning so that God could keep showing his grace and forgiveness? God forbid. Everybody say, God forbid. How could we, who have once been informed of the new life we have in Christ, and knowing the cost of our salvation, how can we treat the grace of God with contempt, as if it's nothing? If you really, truly understand the love of God, you won't want to keep sinning. If you really understand the love of God, you'll understand the price that he paid. And that love will inspire you to also sacrifice yourself and say no to your flesh. Say no to your flesh. I remember when I was a young man, I was so excited about God. When I was 17, even though I was brought up in a Christian family, I really had a revelation of Christ when I was 17. I really understood his love for me. And I was so excited. I was telling my parents about, I'm going to be in ministry, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they had to slow me down a little bit. They had to keep some boundaries in my life and keep some truth boundaries. Like, well, you need to go to school. You need to get a job. Come on now. Somebody say amen. You need to do some things. And I'm like, no, I don't need any. I've got God now. I don't need parents. I don't need authority. I don't need anything. How many of you know I got smacked down a few times? I got smacked down because God said, no, I'm not going to let you go with just love without truth. Got to have love and truth together. You see, in relationships, a lot of times we emphasize forgiveness, patience, and all those wonderful things. But there also must be truth in a relationship. For a relationship to be healthy, it has to be true to God. Somebody say amen. A lot of us use the excuse that we should never judge. Have you ever heard this? Well, don't judge. Don't judge. Well, what if the person is out there beating somebody up or shooting somebody? Don't judge. You don't know. Maybe he was, you know, he was denied as a child, or maybe he didn't have, you know, the privileges. Wait a second. Wait a second. There's got to be love and truth. Somebody say amen. We are not to misjudge or be judgmental in the sense that we look down at people. We're not supposed to be looking down at people. We're not supposed to be judging by the outward appearance. Okay? But we are to make good judgment. All right? Making a good judgment. Like, for example, if you're driving a car, you want to make a good judgment. If it's raining outside, you slow down. You slow down. You're a little more careful, right? You don't say, don't judge me. I can drive at 80 miles an hour while there's a torrent of rain coming down. You understand what I'm saying this morning? We have gotten this mixed up. And we don't, sometimes we have thrown out the idea of love, thinking that because that person is telling me the truth, they don't love me. But let me tell you something. A person who really loves you will tell you the truth. Just like you told your children the truth when you love them. Come on now. The last one. So God's love is never separated from God's truth. And finally, God's love shows itself in sacrificial actions. God's love shows itself in sacrificial actions. You see, it's very hard for us to go beyond the me-centered, you know, self-centered person that we are, because all of us are born with an innate selfish nature. We all have it. You know, it's called looking out for number one. But if we are to love others the way Christ loved us, we have to love others sometimes more than we love ourselves. Now, this is, you got to get this. This is important. Did Christ love us enough to sacrifice himself for us? Okay. Then if we love somebody, we have to be willing to make sacrifices also. He said, love one another as I have loved you. He was our example. He's our role model, right? Jesus also said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And obedience to his commandments involves action. It means I have to forgive. It means I should be praying regularly. It means I should be in the Word of God. It means I should be out sharing my faith with people. There's a lot of commandments of Jesus that we sometimes forget. We think about the Ten Commandments, but if you study the New Testament, Jesus issued about 50 commandments. Wow. Jesus' commandments, they're not too hard. We can do them, but you got to pay attention. Like he says, forgive, right? Don't take revenge. Love your enemies. Care for the poor. Remember those who are sick. Be compassionate. Reach out to your neighbor. There's so many commandments of Jesus. If we follow them, the world would be a better place. Amen? Let this example of Jesus Christ, his extraordinary love, let it change your heart. Let it change the way you live. The need around us is enormous, but God's love is still at work. I was saved at 17 because of God's love. I was brought up in a Christian family, third generation Christians. But I never saw the depth of God's love till one Labor Day weekend, 1966, when I saw this man at a Christian youth camp who was not a minister, he was a truck driver, get up and smile and talk about God's love for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. And I just saw it for a second. My eyes were open to how much God really loved me. And I said to myself, a love like that deserves more than religion. It deserves my life. Oh, I hope you don't miss that. I hope you didn't miss that. A love like his deserves my life, my strength, my all. Hallelujah. 1,000 different songs have been written about the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. How can you describe the infinite, amazing, self-sacrificing love of God that loves a sinner such as me? When I was on my way to being a rebellious punk in the streets of Queens, New York, somebody say amen. And God got a hold of my life and changed me. So much so that I want to live for him who died for me. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life will be. Let's stand together. Amen. I'm getting an echo on this microphone, Amanda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We love you, Jesus. Let's just tell him we love him this morning. Hallelujah. What the world needs now, whether you're Democrat or Republican, oh boy, that's a hot topic right now. Guess what? Democrats need love. Republicans needs love. Love can never be separated from truth. And God's real love shows itself in sacrificial action. Real love is defined as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read this to you while you're standing. It is patient. It is kind. It is not jealous. You see, if God is love, then these definitions of love explain how God is. You know, that's a simple thing, but that's a powerful thought. If God is love, as the Bible says, then knowing what love is will help you to know what God is. God is love, right? Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So here's how God explains what love is. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful or proud. It is not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. You ever know somebody who keeps lists? They remember every little thing you did to them. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins. You see how love and truth go together? It does not rejoice about injustice, but love rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance of life. Oh, how he loves you and me. Sing it from the beginning. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Sing it together with me this morning. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. He gave his life. What more can he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. You know, friend, maybe you never felt the love of God in such a profound way as I did that September morning in 1966. But maybe today you sense that God's trying to reveal his love for you. You feel that tugging in your heart. I want you to close your eyes for a second, everybody. You feel the love of God tugging at your heart and saying, don't you want to know me? Don't you want to trust me? Is there anything that I cannot do if I have conquered death and I've conquered hell and I rose again on the third day and I ascended to heaven? Is there anything in your life that's too hard that I can't handle? Won't you trust my love? And while every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want you, even at home, close your eyes and bow your head for a second. If there's somebody at home listening or watching this video, this Facebook broadcast, just lift a hand and say, God, I want to receive your love. I'm willing to forgive those who have hurt me. I'm even willing to forgive things I haven't understood about you. Maybe I blamed you for something, an accident that happened, someone who passed away in my family. Something didn't go the way I wanted, and I've held a grudge. But by lifting my hand, I'm saying, Lord, I'm willing to get into a covenant of love with you right now. Would you do that right now, wherever you are? Lord, I want to renew my covenant of love with God. I want to consecrate myself to know this love and rely on the love of God. Sing it again. Oh, how he loves you and me. Listen to the Lord right now. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. And one more time. Lift your hand. Everybody, lift your hand to Jesus. Oh, how he loves. Soak it in. Drink it in right now. Drink in the love of God, the unconditional, unending, amazing love of God. Get acquainted with it. Oh, he gave his life. What more could he give? Get acquainted with his love. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Brother Joe, can we sing that? Come into my heart, come into my heart today, come in to stay. Somebody here needs this, maybe at home. Put your hand on your heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today. Come in. One more time.
Come
into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Brother Joe, would you come to the microphone, please? Hallelujah. I want you to close us in prayer. You can put your mask on. I appreciate our dear brother, minister of the gospel, servant of the Lord, Brother Joe Torres. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is moving. Wow. Wow. I'm not in a rush. Is there anybody in a rush this morning? Hallelujah. What are you playing, Pastor Angela?
The same song.
Come in today. Come in to stay. I have a word of knowledge for somebody here this morning. As the Holy Spirit is working, please don't rush God. Yeah. Please pay attention. This is very holy. It's very sacred. Somebody thinks they made a huge mistake in their life that God cannot forgive. And the Lord says, is there anything too hard for me? I've already seen beyond your fault, and I see your need. If you're willing to embrace my love and my truth, you will be not only forgiven, but you will have a joyful, Amen. Abundant life. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I can forgive any mistake. But from this day forward, like Jesus said to the woman, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord does not condemn you. He forgives. But embrace his love and his truth. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, that Hallelujah. You can come into our heart today. You can come into our heart to stay. And Lord, as we walk out of this place, I pray that we would leave all our burdens, all our cares, Lord, and that we would take you into our hearts. In Jesus' name, bring healing and let us walk out of here healed in mind, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus. Church, this morning, Don't walk out of here with the baggage that you came in. Leave it. Leave it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Leave it in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. And I pray that you would go with us. Stay with us this week. Show yourself mighty this week.
Yes, yes.
In our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplace.
Yes, yes, yes.
In our schools, wherever we may find ourselves.
Yes.
Show yourself mighty and loving and caring.
Yes.
But not only that, show yourself through us.
Yes, yes.
Through us to a dying, hurting world.
Yes, show your love.
I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the church would say,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Joe. Thank you, Pastor Angela, Brother Angel, all of you. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and evermore. All God's people said, Amen, amen. Give somebody a wave. Give them a virtual hug. God bless you. Welcome. And thank you for coming today. Today, come in to stay. Sing it from the top, sweet girl.